The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Back when America's chief threat was the Soviet Union, it was the Soviet Union and trying to expand its empire and influence the world over, including into the West, and handcuff America. They would do so with economic aid and weapons. Now are we in a period in the 21st century world where it is a Sputnik and Sinovac or vaccine diplomacy, the means by which America's enemies, both Russia but particularly China, seek to extend their influence in the West. For help in exploring that question and the implications of the answer, pleased to be joined by Cindy Yu. She's broadcast editor and China reporter at The Spectator, also host of The Spectator's Chinese Whispers podcast. Cindy, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hi there.
The vaccine diplomacy, the Wall Street Journal had a piece I know you've written about in The Spectator, Wall Street Journal, too, taking notice of this over the weekend, talking about how China is trying to position itself as a white knight in the second world and developing world with respect to gifting doses of its vaccine to those countries. And this vaccine diplomacy is not just the Chinese communists' fullness of heart. This is not just a humanitarian effort. This is a political one, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think that China is not doing this for humanitarian reasons, although, of course, you know, all the regular arguments about the world getting herd immunity faster being good still applies. But China is seeing it very much as a soft power potential. And we saw this last year with China's PPE diplomacy, where it shipped out donations of masks and other gear to countries in need during a global shortage. That was, you know, a bit of a mixed result because some of the PPE was found to be substandard. Now vaccines are, you know, the next big thing because Pfizer and AstraZeneca, you know, these big Western companies, they're doing very well, but they're supplying mainly Western countries. And those developing countries who have put orders in probably won't be expecting them until later this year. Places like Mexico, for example, started the year having Pfizer vaccines, but then supplies dried up across the world and they've had to turn to the Russian vaccine. So it's a great... It's a very powerful diplomatic tool for great powers to be getting their hands into. And the difference, the advantage for China is that it's currently not vaccinating its own people at the breakneck speed that it could be doing, which means that a lot of its vaccines can be exported abroad.
And you know, this is what China can get away with, so to speak. I mean, this idea that they put their citizens in a inferior position to the rest of the world because politics is their aim, not serving the Chinese people. And so this presents a real challenge for the West, the U.S. and the U.K., as you mentioned in your piece in The Spectators. This is something to worry about, is their ability to befriend and establish beachheads in places like South America, which is what the Chinese and the Russians are doing.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I think what's interesting about this story is that, until maybe early February, a lot of people and politicians certainly weren't really talking about it. Obviously, last Friday, we had the G7 conversation where Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, was talking to Joe Biden and other world leaders about donating vaccines. But until then, the developing world hasn't really been on top of the Western radar, and which has left a gap for China and Russia to slip into. Now, when it comes to China not vaccinating its own people, I would say it's a bit of a more balanced picture than China putting others above its own people. It's more that because of its zero COVID strategy, of how strict these border controls are, there is very little COVID in the country, which means that people themselves are not very keen to be injected with these quite speedily developed jabs anyway. So there's no clamour from the bottom. And I think if there were, China would find itself in a much trickier position with exporting literally hundreds of millions of doses.
Okay, so you just nail people in their homes. You should subjugate them. And this is a way where you don't have to feel complaints or any uprising for vaccines as the rest of the world is getting vaccinated. Then they spin their propaganda that we were on the preventative side for our people and we perform so much better than the Western world. And now we're helping the Western world because, you know, this is why we're this is why we should, you know, be the world's global superpower.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, first of all, it's not just propaganda that China is has done better in the COVID pandemic than maybe perhaps America has, and certainly from where I sit in London, certainly better than the UK has. If you talk to anyone in China now, they're not at the stage anymore where they're locked in their homes, because that strict lockdown happened in the early months of last year. And since then, you know, you presumably saw pictures of the Wuhan pool party, New Year's Eve parties, Chinese New Year migrations. Life is very much back to normal, except people can't really get into the country and people can't really get out. So that's the, you know, the entire country is in a bubble at the moment, as it
but,
were.
But with respect, to what we understand about the incidence of cases and hospitalizations and deaths, I mean, how much can we rely on the data that is being put out by the Chinese Communist government?
Sure, it's an incredibly valid question, and I do think that China clearly has been manipulating the numbers. You know, when we're looking at Wuhan, in one day the death toll doubled because they changed the way they defined a COVID death, right? So clearly the party has a hand in these numbers. That's definitely true. But if there was a pandemic situation going on in China, you'd hear much more on social media, via hospitals, about, you know, this pandemic overwhelming people. Even if you don't diagnose it as COVID, there would be some kind of health crisis. And that's not what we're seeing here. And that's the thing about this pandemic, is that even if you're not testing, even if you're not reporting, people are still getting sick, right? So, you know, healthcare officials are still going to see that happening. And we're not seeing that at the moment. Now, of course, you know, it could be huge scale asymptomatic infection or whatever it is, but certainly the health system is not being overwhelmed in the same way that it was in Wuhan in January.
How did you interpret the WHO pronouncements about where this virus may have started and the suggestion that it was unlikely to have originated in that Wuhan virology lab, something that runs counter to what Matt Pottinger, formerly the State Department of the Trump administration, and others have suggested the evidence suggests?
Yeah, of course. I mean, in my understanding, this is the first of many missions that the WHO intends to carry out in Wuhan in China. And I wasn't on the mission, but, you know, there's been some mixed reviews coming out of there. Peter Daszak, who is one of the leading epidemiologists who was on there, claims the Chinese side were very transparent. On the other hand, you've got Dutch scientists who are on the mission who say that they weren't, and they tried to foil them at every step. So it's very hard to know just how much the Chinese were cooperating. Certainly, we do know that they weren't allowed to go into the Wuhan lab that is in question. But, you know, not being scientists, it's very hard to know why the WHO justified not, you know, how they justified not looking into that lab further based on just genomic data. So that's, you know, that's incredibly hard for outsiders to commentate on, unfortunately.
Mm. She is Cindy Yu, broadcast editor and China reporter at The Spectator, also host of The Spectator's Chinese Whispers podcast. Cindy, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Exposing political fakers, fixers, and takers. He's Dan Proft, and this is The Dan Proft Show.